the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 18th of Adar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Stay tuned for the end of the program, where we'll have a Torah thought from Rabbi Yossi Madvig. We are also going to read out the next 12 names of hostages or people that remain in Gaza today that Israel would like to have back. We're going to tell you a little bit about who those individuals are in part two of our ode to the hostages that are still in Gazan captivity. Now, let's get to the news. A video released by Israel Defense Forces is circulating on the web. It shows an IDF interrogation with an Islamic Jihad terrorist who, in the tape, is confessing to raping an Israeli woman on October 7th. He describes how he encountered the woman in a house during the invasion, where he admitted to raping her after he says in Arabic that, quote, Satan took over him. The interrogation revealed details of the assault, including the removal of the victim's clothes and the duration of the rape, which he said was just a minute or two because he heard yelling outside. The terrorist then recounts his firing at an Israeli civilian and throwing a grenade at others before fleeing the scene. Today, so that's Thursday morning, two men and a child were wounded in a terror shooting at a bus route number 90 in the Jordan Valley. Magen David Adom, which is the emergency services, say that they received a call at 7:04 and medics arrived to the scene and began caring for a 30-year-old man in serious condition with gunshot wounds to his limbs, a 21-year-old man in mild condition with gunshot wounds to his limbs, and a 13-year-old boy in mild condition with glass shrapnel wounds to his face. All three victims are now being treated in Hadassah Hospital in Mount Scopus. After investigation, the Israeli Defense Forces have found that the terrorist had shot at multiple vehicles in the area, including two bulletproof buses carrying students. Soldiers are still pursuing the terrorist. The bus drivers organization from the National Histadrut, which is the labor organization of the country, which unites bus drivers across Israel, responded to this event saying, quote, this is not the first time that buses and bus drivers have been attacked by gunfire. Buses are a symbol of government, and for this reason, they are repeatedly attacked. This is an ongoing terror against the drivers and passengers. The time has come to promote bus security immediately, so that every bus will have a security guard as it was in the past. The blood of the drivers and passengers must not be wasted. That's the end of the quote. After hours of discussion Tuesday night between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and representatives of the United Torah, Judaism, and Shas parties, two of the coalition's Haredi or Orthodox parties, little to no progress was made regarding the Orthodox military draft bill, and no additional meetings have been scheduled either. This is a law in Israel that allows young Haredi men to delay their military service for yeshiva until they've reached the age of exemption, and that law expired last year. The Supreme Court has given the government until April 1st to propose a bill and until June 30th to pass it. The original outline of the new bill does not set a quota of Haredi men drafting each year, but rather raises the exemption to age 35. The Orthodox community is greatly criticizing this because it would require young men to stay in yeshiva for a much longer time instead of entering the workforce in their mid-20s. A yeshiva is a religious school for men. The idea is that many Orthodox Jews think that they are better placed studying Torah than being out on the battlefield. And that's a concept. It's an idea. That's what people, many Orthodox people fight for here. And so many will study Torah until their mid-20s in order to not enter the military. And then they enter the workforce. Now, with the age proposed to go up to 35, those who strongly do not believe in entering the army would, in a way, be forced to actually study Torah until they're 35 years old because they're allowed to not be in the army if they are studying Torah. The original draft of the bill also proposes a plan for Orthodox battalions in the IDF and positions in Israel's emergency services and government offices. So the idea is to add those in. The United Torah Judaism Party has threatened to leave Netanyahu's coalition if the proposal includes annual recruitment targets of yeshiva students and financial penalties for Haredi educational institutions that don't meet those quotas. The loss of Orthodox parties would cause Netanyahu's government to crumble. Meanwhile, the Movement for Quality Government in Israel, which believes every Israeli citizen should participate in military service, says, quote, sharing the burden of military service equally is an existential necessity for the state of Israel and Israeli society, and there is no way to achieve it other than the enactment of a uniform and equal enlistment law that will apply to all, end quote. Hamas officially rejected Israel's latest ceasefire proposal, stating the demands were unacceptable and did not meet their minimum standards. Hamas says it is sticking to its original position, which is that Israel withdraw troops from Gaza and give over loads of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for the hostages. Israel calls this plan delusional. The IDF targeted a cell in southern Lebanon Wednesday, which killed seven individuals who were all confirmed to be members of a terror group. The cell was planning to infiltrate and attack Israel. There's been a lot of action in Israel's north, and the popular northern city of Kiryat Shmona experienced a heavy rocket barrage from Lebanon, leading to multiple alerts and ultimately damage. One carpentry shop was heavily hit. Hezbollah claimed responsibility for the attack. Despite the significant assault, emergency services responded promptly. However, there was one Israeli killed in this rocket barrage. 25-year-old Druze citizen Zahar Bashara was reportedly killed. Bashara was pulled out from under rubble without any vital signs. The exchange of fire follows a series of escalations between Israel and Hezbollah, with both sides engaging in airstrikes and rocket attacks. May the family of Zahar Bashara and the Druze community of northern Israel find peace after this distressing news. The Israeli Air Force is announcing the resumption of its annual training program. In the immediate aftermath of the Hamas attack on southern Israel October 7th, the IAF suspended its yearly training program, opting to place all of its focus on the war with Hamas. However, over the past few weeks, the IAF has been gradually returning to training, with the full resumption of the training program just being approved. The training program has been adapted for the current war effort and is tailored specifically to increase the IAF's readiness in the face of a potential escalation in northern Israel. The IDF announced the death of a soldier who was killed while fighting in Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip a few days ago. 21-year-old Staff Sergeant Nisim Kahlon, 21 years old, of Hadera in the Givati Infantry Brigade, fell in battle. This brings the military death toll up to 253 since the start of the ground operation in Gaza. May his family and community find comfort during this time. Those news bites you just heard were partly powered by our new partner, Bernie News Network, or BNN. For fast and precise updates, you can join BNN on WhatsApp and Telegram by going over to their website, bernie.news. Monday evening, New Hope Chair Gideon Sa'ar announced his four-seat party's departure from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition. This comes after his demands to enter the high-level war cabinet were not met. This is just 2 weeks after dissolving his political alliance with opposition leader Benny Gantz. Sa'ar, who says his party set aside disagreements with Netanyahu following October 7th, is now saying that the government has failed to achieve its war aims with Gaza. He claims he's left due to feeling unable to influence action on the conflict. The coalition now shrinks from 76 to 72 out of 120 seats in the Knesset. This doesn't pose a threat to the stability of the coalition, but it may influence Gantz to leave the emergency government as well. Sunday night, Abu Hilala, a former managing director for Qatari news site Al Jazeera, claimed the network published false information alleging Israeli soldiers committed sexual assault in Gaza City's Shifa Hospital. The news story follows a woman named Jamila Al-Hisi, who claims to have been trapped in the hospital for 6 days. In the report, she says soldiers, quote, raped women, kidnapped women, executed women, and pulled dead bodies from the rubble to unleash their dogs on them, end quote. The IDF's Arabic spokesperson denied the accusations due to a lack of evidence. In Hilala's retraction, that's the former Al Jazeera editor, he wrote on Twitter or X that, quote, it was revealed through Hamas investigations that the story of the rape of women in the hospital was fabricated. Of course, the enemy did not hesitate to commit the crime of genocide. The woman who spoke about rape justified her exaggeration and incorrect talk by saying that the goal was to arouse the nation's fervor and brotherhood. As if more than 30,000 martyrs, 90,000 wounded, about a million displaced people, and comprehensive destruction were not enough. End quote. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to our new website, israeldailynews.org. We have a donate page. Our organization is operational thanks to listeners and supporters like you. In response for your contributions, I'll send over a handwritten thank you note to show my appreciation. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. Monday evening for Tribe Tel Aviv, the organization I run that brings internationals living in Tel Aviv together, is hosting actress and model and movie producer Mira Tsur. She is an Israeli-American, and she is going to be in conversation with me during an interview for the Sunset Series, which is a program that I run. We're going to be talking about her success at every generation and every age, and she's going to be talking about her challenges as a Jewish woman in the entertainment industry. If you're in your 20s and 30s and you're interested in coming to the event, reach out or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Tribe Tel Aviv. And now for part 2. Of a special report we are rolling out today and in future podcasts. We are going to go through the names of a dozen hostages today that are still held captive, and we're going to learn just a little bit about their lives. It's a great way for us to honor them, and I hope it's helpful for you to think of them and imagine them, pray for them and their souls, since some people on this list have already been declared deceased by the IDF. I am going to note who in the list is alive and who is deceased. I am going to have this list on our website, israeldailynews.org, so you can read it as well. We're going to move from youngest to oldest in terms of the people on this list. And again, there are about 134 hostages left behind in Gaza today. I'm going to read out 12 of their names for you. Tamir Nimrodi, age 19. Tamir is a soldier serving in the liaison department for the coordination of government activities in the territories, also known as COGAT, to the Gaza Strip. He was abducted from his base near the Erez crossing on October 7th. Tamir is described as a brilliant kid by his family. He is very close with his sister. Daniel Perez, age 19. Daniel was taken captive near Kibbutz Nachal Oz. His brother Yonatan was getting married the following week. The brother did go through with his wedding, but Daniel's absence was devastating for the whole family. Daniel is known for his love of people and ability to become friends with people easily. He loves running, soccer, and extreme sports. Tomer Achimas, age 20, deceased. Staff Sergeant Tomer Yaakov Achimas was murdered on October 7th. Hamas militants brought his body into Gaza. He is survived by his parents, Moshe and Anat. Everyone from his hometown commemorates his life and feels that the community is not the same without him. Matan Angrest, age 21. Matan is a part of the tank unit at the Nachal Oz Army Base. He was driving a tank with three other soldiers. Two were taken hostage with him, and one was killed. Matan is the eldest of four siblings. He is a hardworking student, as well as a dedicated soccer player and fan of the Maccabi Haifa soccer team. Bar Cooperstein, age 21. Bar was working as staff at the Nova Music Festival when kidnapped by Hamas terrorists. Instead of immediately getting to safety, he tried to care for those who were shot and injured by gunmen. Hamas posted photos of him tied up on the ground later that day. Bar is the eldest of five children and has always looked after his family, especially after his father was in a car accident, leaving him unable to walk 2 years ago. He is known for his good heart and character and is considered a hero. Almog Meir Jan, age 21. Almog was kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival. He had spent the previous night assisting his grandparents, as his grandfather had just undergone back surgery. His family heard about the massacre later that day. They knew that he was at the festival. Hamas posted a video of Almog in Gaza. Almog was released from his army service 3 months prior and was planning to work in the tech industry. His uncle says that he is a fun-loving guy that takes life lightly. Joshua Molel, age 21, deceased. Joshua was working at Kibbutz Nachal Oz when abducted by Hamas terrorists. It is confirmed that he was killed in captivity and that his body is still being held in Gaza. He was an agricultural intern from Tanzania who hoped to one day open his own farming business. He arrived in Israel for his internship mid-September, and it was his first time outside of his home country ever. Yonatan Samarano, age 21, deceased. Yonatan was captured from the Nova Music Festival. On December 4th, the IDF confirmed his death. It is unknown if he died on October 7th or while in captivity. Yonatan worked as a DJ and was known to be the life of the party. Omer Shemtov, age 21. Omer was kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival by Hamas terrorists. His family is especially worried for his health, as he suffers from asthma and celiac disease. He is likely struggling to breathe in the Hamas tunnels and cannot eat the scraps of pita bread terrorists have reportedly been feeding hostages. Before his capture, he was working as a waiter and was always open to having a party with his friends. Hamza Alziadna, age 22. Hamza was working in the cowshed at Kibbutz Cholit when he, along with his father, brother, and sister, were kidnapped by Hamas terrorists. His two siblings were released in the November hostage deal, but he and his father, Yusuf, are still being held in Gaza. The Arab family comes from the Bedouin village of Rahat in southern Israel. Hamza is married and a father of two. Samar Faud Talalka, age 22. Samar was kidnapped from Kibbutz Nir Am, likely during his morning shift at the hatchery. A hatchery is a place where eggs are hatched, often using artificial processes. He was shot dead by IDF troops while in Gaza. They mistook him for a Hamas terrorist. Samar is from the Bedouin town of Hura. He is described as a good, honest, and hardworking man. Guy Gilboa Dalal, age 22. Guy was abducted by Hamas gunmen from the Nova Music Festival. It was his first rave, which he planned with his friends months in advance. Guy is a guitar player and a fan of rock and metal. He also has a deep appreciation for other cultures. He taught himself Japanese and dreams of traveling to Japan. He and his brother Gal are very close. May all of these hostages be released and the bodies that are being held captive in Gaza be returned to their families, at least so that their families could put them to rest on Israeli soil. And now, to send us out of this show, let's hear a Torah thought from Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York.
We're now into the second week of the book of Leviticus, or Vayikra in Hebrew. And one of the main themes that this third book of the Bible talks about is the idea of korbanot, sacrifices. And without Hasidic philosophy, the concept of sacrifices could seem very archaic and, quite frankly, could be a little bit boring, especially because it's so archaic and doesn't really have or seem to have a whole lot of relevance to Jewish practice nowadays. So what do I mean that without Hasidic philosophy it could seem this way? Let me give you an example. In this week's Torah portion, which is the portion of Tzav, the priests are commanded to bring various sacrifices, and one of them is a daily sacrifice, which is a handful of grain mixed in with some oil and so forth. And they put this and burn it on the altar. So what does that have to do with you and me in the 21st century? So Hasidic philosophy explains like this. Grain represents the idea of our material possessions. And the Kohanim, the priest, that's every Jew, right? We are a Mamlechet Kohanim, we're a nation of priests. So this is a lesson to every Jew that we have to take our worldly possessions, our physical mundane lives, and we have to burn some of it on the altar. What does that mean? It means that we have to dedicate some of our lives to holiness, to God. And it doesn't have to be all day sitting in a monastery somewhere up in the hills, completely separated from the physical world. No, we just take that little bit in the morning, and maybe even in the afternoon. We just take that little bit and dedicate it to God. What does that mean? Take some time, a few minutes in the morning, to pray, to put on tefillin, the black boxes that men wear, learn a little Torah, just a little bit, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe an hour, whatever fits into your lifestyle the best, and dedicate that portion of your day to God. And then we find that the priests, Aaron and his sons, it says in the Torah, in the Torah portion, that they will eat what's left over from it. So the leftovers, meaning the rest of your day, is also holy, because the holiness of those morning mitzvot, those morning commandments, that time that you dedicated in the beginning of your day, that spills over into the rest of your day, and it impacts everything that you do, your work, your material needs, everything, so that those two can serve a holy and spiritual purpose. So dedicate some time every day, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, dedicate some of it to spiritual pursuits. Shabbat shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 18 degrees Celsius and a high of 27 degrees. That's 64 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 80 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top 5 stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Go to the bottom corner. You'll see a sign up form there. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner, and our consultant and web designer, Sivan Hadari. And another shout out to our intern, Maya Kay. Thank you for your work, Maya. I'll send you off today with a song called Hof Ahava by Ya'ar HaSholeyan. Have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Stefan.